sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
This is Jos Ogunigi, Will Bluewater, a 7th grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. As Bluewater, 7th great grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And hello, everybody. Sorry to be running late, but I laid down a little bit earlier and set an alarm, but a stupid thing didn't go off. But anyway, we're here. Yeah, well, I see now why I did have my cell phone set correctly to and I didn't wake up. But anyway, we're here, and our guest this evening is James Mooney. And without any further ado, we'll get right to the meat of the matter. How are you, Brother James?
Well, I'm just really well, thank you.
Well, that's good. Have you ever been on and had Mark do your Mayan birth reading, or have we done that before?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said. What was that?
Have you been on with us and had Mark do your Mayan birth reading before?
No.
You have. Okay. All right then. We'll
no, I don't think he has. Has he? I think he said no, Bluewater.
No, I've never had that.
Oh yeah, you're. It was hard for me to tell whether you said yes or no. Okay. Well, let's get that done. If you would give Mark your birth date and he'll work that up for you. I'll just give him a couple of minutes. And what's your birth? What day and year were you born, James?
January 3rd, 1944.
Okay. So you ready?
He's fast. Go ahead.
Well, I already knew it. I've already looked at it.
Oh, okay.
So in a traditional Mayan day count, he was born on a day called 8-Oc. And Ock is the dog glyph, and he's a partner to Quetzalcoatl, Xihuatl, which is the dog that is the partner, companion of Quetzalcoatl that leads the souls through the underworld. And so the 8-Oc, the 8 has a meaning. It has a meaning of completeness, especially of things of energies of the material world. it carries a lot of that number carries a lot of male energy and a male authority energy in the Mayan tradition, and it would also relate to the top of a pyramid. And so that's the eight, and then the Ankh part of it is has to do with things about counseling, you know, things that, especially on things of matters of fairness, or again back to the authority that we saw with the number eight on it as well, and things to do with the law, especially in, like, law of creator and stuff like that, big stuff. So that now where things get a little bit more interesting is when they look up his birth in the sixth sun Vulcan. And then here we have two time flows, a forward flow of time, the way we normally look at time, but there is also a backward flow of time. And then there's where these two time flows come together and create a bridge or a zero point. And on the forward flow of time, his birth talks a lot about things of unveiling things, transforming things, change of things. There's some jaguar energy here, which is one of the more, really at the top of the Mayan and Mesoamerican totem of animals. The jaguar was pretty much right there on top of everything. And things having to do with mystical things. There's some condor energy here of the eagle and condor type thing, so stuff that brings in the tribal native energies through that condor heart energy. Now, this particular glyph, too, it's a 14 semi, and it has a connection with, as some of our other guests on the show, with a day called Nineque, which is Blue Otter's birth glyph. And its connection is it's in the same cycle, and it's exactly five later, and it's the next, so the Eek glyph of Blue Otter is a white glyph, and your glyph that you were born on is the next white glyph after that in the same cycle. So now that it is also partnered with another glyph called Four Etznab, or Four in the Aztec Toltec one, Four Tecpatl. And that one is interesting because it is actually written on the thing that they call the Aztec Sunstone or the Calendar Stone, different names for it. But it can be seen, if you look in the mouth, in the center of it, in the fifth sun, it can be seen in the mouth. The mouth of him is actually speaking or holding a Tecpatl symbol in his mouth. And then the four around him would speak the day number four. So that is kind of a thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, that that's actually on the sunstone, that he's actually speaking that. And that has some other interesting connections, like one that might be interesting for you to look at is that is the exact day sign that image in Mexico called Our Lady Guadalupe. It actually appeared on that specific day sign, and there's a whole multitude of reasons that it happened that way that I'm not going to get into because it'd take hours to explain it. But those are two significant, or actually three, the Nineque with connection with Blue Otter, the thing with the sunstone speaking, and then the Telmo Guadalupe connecting into your birth on this forward flow of time that might be worth exploring later for you. On the backward flow, you have a glyph, a Kuat glyph, and that one shows up on a lot of guests too, and that one is connects also to the white buffalo. About, I think, half of the white buffaloes that have been born since Miracle back in Janesville, Wisconsin in, August 20th, 1994, I believe. About half of the white buffaloes born after that have been born on this particular symbol or glyph. These things that we're going to go over here, things that may have been showing up in your life, say around 1997, 98, maybe a little bit before then or after that, and maybe showing up a little bit stronger in your life since then. And that has to do with things about balancing things, family of things, equality, things here about ancestors, especially ancestors dealing with supernatural powers and the Maya or the illusion of reality, stuff like that. Also some stuff with eagle energy here. So you have some eagle on your backward flow of time and some condor on your forward flow of time. So the eagle and condor thing playing out here sort of as well. Now where these two come together and they create a zero point or a balancing point between the two flows of time, you have a day here called 3-Con, and that particular con glyph symbol, a lot of times, many of the glyphs, the way it's drawn, it looks kind of like a seed being planted in the ground. And the Mayan, Hopi, and all that, of course, would be probably likely be a corn seed. And this glyph sometimes connects people back very often to the star system of the Pleiades. So this one is covering energy of things about as you bridge worlds, move from one world to the next, things that have to do with focusing, awareness, binding awareness together, things, especially things that are associated with service, helping other people out. It also has things here, aspects of justice and reason and fearlessness and also, again, some condor energy showing up here, too. And this one's a yellow glyph, so it also connects into the south because the yellow would be in the south in the Mayan medicine wheel. So, yeah. So a lot here, Pleiades, white buffalo, and some eagle and condor stuff going on.
Well, if your head was...
What's the medicine for condor?
Huh?
What's the medicine for condor? What's the symbolic meaning of a condor?
Well, in the prophecy in the eagle and the condor symbolizes the more the southern hemisphere of the planet, and the eagle symbolizes more the north, and the eagle symbolizes more things like mind and thinking and thought and stuff like that, you know. A little bit, maybe more people might label the male, more male energy or masculine energy, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the condor would be more the heart and more tribal and native cultural ways of living, sort of symbolizes that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And prophecy said that the eagle and the condor would come together and fly together in the sky. But in one of the Mayan elders, Don Alejandro, talks also, and several of the others talk about also bringing the Quetzal bird in there too, that the Quetzal would be in the center. And, of course, that's where Central America is, in between North and South America. And that they would come, all these things would come together and all the people would come together like the fingers all belong to one hand. So we'd all realize we're a finger, but we're on the same hand.
I see.
That's kind of the idea of the prophecy, anyway. So, and your part seems to be connected a little bit more to the condor side. Although you do have some eagle, you have eagle here too. But the eagle is the condor is something that's on you. For you, it's moving from your birth and the forward flow of time into the future, and it's also on the bridge of where you go from. Where the two time cycles, forward and backward flow of time, come together. Both of those areas is where you have condor energy. And your eagle energy is more moving from the future, the next world cycle we're moving into, backwards to you. So it's the one that may be showing up in your life and getting a little bit stronger. And that one would be bringing to you things about mind and prophecy and revelations of things and, you know, the typical things that eagle symbolizes as a messenger power to the most of the Native Americans here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Visions, you know. So maybe you're you've been getting a lot of visions here in the last few years.
Yeah. Well, there's something that may be interesting to you. As my tribal chief was talking to me and actually teaching me and sharing different philosophies and stories of the Seminole people, she informed me that I have mostly Creek blood in me. And the Creek are basically, our heritage actually goes all the way down, is traced to Central America, which is really, most of our ceremonies, the way we conduct the sweat lodges or the traditions of the sweat lodge was practiced in Central America, and that style that they utilized is how I was blessed into the medicine when I was a child. But that tradition, I found out, actually is that's how they blessed medicine people and infant blessings that set people apart or have doors open to them to do medicine work. And the tradition that they did that in was from Central America, in style, which was in a dugout cave in the side of a creek bed. And that's how they do their ceremonies to dedicate medicine people.
Hey, James.
Medicine.
James, we're getting a real bass, deep signal from you. Are you on a speaker or speakerphone or what?
No, I'm not on speakerphone at all. No.
Oh, that's a little bit better. Okay, yeah, hold your mic right there. And yeah, I was going to add there's a website called The People of One Fire, and it's a scholarly website that talks all about the Mayan connection with the Muskogean people. And if you haven't been on
that
website. Yeah. People of One Fire, and you just Google that, and very, and it's scholarly articles. But go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's just interesting to me. I personally haven't looked into the Mayan philosophies or prophecies. Very little have I actually done that, but that's interesting, and there seems to be some. Correlation with what's going on, and I know there's a big movement about the eagle and the condor coming together. And you know, I really dwell too much in that type of thing. But really, I'm kind of concentrating on what's going on right now, and trying to do things in a peaceful and kind and legitimate manner, and still be firm enough to. Cut through the malarkey, but do it in a way that's hopefully in a respectful way, but still get things done. And sometimes it's, you know, it's a real challenge. There's a lot of challenging behaviors that are so ingrained.
Yeah, James, try holding your phone a little bit further from your mouth. Okay,
further?
And say, we're getting a really, really bassy, and it's as your volume goes down, we can hardly hear you or understand you. Try something a little bit different.
Let me try the speakerphone. Maybe the speakerphone might be better.
Okay, and while you're doing that, it is peopleofonefire.com. It's the study, preservation, promotion of Muskogean culture. And a focus on, it's an organization of scholarly articles. But, yeah, let's see what your mic sounds like now.
How's it sound now? Can you hear me?
It's just really bassy. But, yeah, let's try to keep your volume up. We should be okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, not a problem. I have the volume up. I've got all kinds of bars on the phone. And I don't know what's going on, but apparently there's something going on. Maybe, well, anyway, we'll just do the best we can.
Yeah, we can understand you. It kind of sounds like you're in a real echoey room or something, or cave.
No, I'm not. I'm just sitting here in my room here. Not a problem.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
We should have a, maybe I should go to a maybe go on outside might help. I don't know.
Do you have a landline there we could call you on?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do the best we can. So, go ahead. Tell us what you've been up to and what's on your mind.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah,
well,
just tell us.
You know, I'm better at answering questions. If you have questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Aqua of the Native American Church presently is just, I mean, it is just blossoming. I mean, it is just blossoming. We have over 167 churches, and a good many of them are just, I mean, they're just cream of the crop people that are running these, or that are overseeing these independent branches. I mean, there's just wonderful things going. In Virginia, they have the caretakers of the oldest above ground ceremonial site in the world. I mean, my goodness, that's Aqua of the American Church that has the that's caretaking the oldest above ground ceremonial site in the world. It's older than the pyramid. I mean, that's been shown and documented. It's on the National Archives apparently. And I mean that's a phenomenon. We have an educational institution of Somovita, which is just you can get diploma. It's recognized and authorized by the state of Florida, and Dr. J has world-renowned works all over the world, and these classes and these courses are just phenomenal in being able to heal and empower people to obtain the visions that their hearts perceive them to accomplish. There are just so many people. People are coming to us for protection for the cannabis grower, to have to help out the especially children. Dr. William Courtney. I don't know if you've interviewed him or not, but he's one of the foremost authorities on medical cannabis and curing cancer for little children. I mean, it's just amazing what's coming together. And the wonderful thing is that people are really working together. They're looking out for each other. They're just assisting each other right and left. Dr. Eliezer Ben Joseph out of Texas. There's just so many. Charles and the Cherokee Nation. I mean, my goodness gracious! I mean, there's just so many wonderful, talented people. Dr. Charmaine Bassett out of Toledo, California, and what she's doing and putting together these communities that are off the grid that utilizing cannabis and bamboo. And building the whole structures to make sure that people that have a difficult time making a living in an aggressive and competitive world that the United States presently resides with, well, now these people that are just not in the competitive mode or want to escape the competitive mode are going to have communities where they can live in without all the competition stuff. And off the grid type of thing. I mean, there's just so many things that are happening worldwide with Aqua of the Native American Church. We have Dr. Verdone. I think have you interviewed Andrew from Peru?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we had the two of you on last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, Andrew now he is offering with the authority of the Peruvian government. two clinics utilizing the Green Forest or Emerald Forest or, you know, the Amazon, whatever you want to call it, using their medicine in with the sanctions of the Peruvian government in two of the two clinics right now. That's going on now. I mean, you're looking at a medical doctor and psychiatrist all in one person, and he's making changes like you have no idea. Then there's other things that I cannot really speak upon, where we may be in a position where we can actually save what Dr. Burgoyne calls the medicine cabinet of the world. I mean, it's being destroyed as it is right now, and if things don't change, we're in deep trouble right now. And if we don't make a change really fast, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. There's so many positive things going on now. So I'm really optimistic, and I'm very, very happy about the different people that are coming into the churches now. Where it used to be people that would come into and were searching us out, or the spirit was drew me to them, or vice versa, were usually people that were just in trouble and needed assistance. That's not happening now. People are coming into Akira that are wanting to contribute to the world, and they find out that the only way that they can do that is belonging to Akira Native American Church. Right now, from everything that all indications that have been shown to me, is that presently Akira Native American Church is the only place that people can be part of that can truly experience the total ramifications of the United States Constitution. I mean, the special interests have corrupted our entire judicial system, where, heck almighty, the Constitution has just been shredded. And yet, now, because of Akiva, and because of the way the laws are set up, we're able to cut through the malarkey like a hot knife through butter. It's mind-boggling. There are so many different things that are happening on so many different fronts in the judicial system that, oh my goodness, it's changing the complexion of the entire judicial system. And it's because there's responsible people that are coming in, and they're not dwelling on the negative crap. They're saying, hey, I have constitutional rights. And it's not a fight. It's merely a stand. Saying, hey, this is my rights, and they've got the stamina and the integrity to just say, hey, this is the law. You're violating the law, not me. You're the one that's violating the law. And they're standing the ground. They're not doing a fight. They're not picking a fight. I mean, they're coming after them. And when they come after them, they're finding out they're in deep trouble. And so what happens is they raid one of our churches, or they arrest some of these people. And as long as those people show, hey, we're a church. Hey, this is a card. I'm a member of this church. The moment they do that, that puts the state on notice. And if they go ahead and arrest or raid them, then they're the ones that are in trouble. And so then everything is totally reversed. So now they're trying to delay justice, because they know if it goes to court and they're going to get a ruling against them, then they're up for a multi-billion-dollar civil action. So they're running scared, every one of them. Joy out of California has got them on the run. You have no idea how she's got them turned around. Tracy Elise out of Arizona has got the same thing. She's got the entire state of Arizona around her fingers, and she's just playing with them now, and they know it. You know, and she just wants to get as much publicity to change these silly behaviors that are going on with the judicial system, all caused not by a government. Everybody wants to blame the government. The government is you and I. But what has happened is that certain individuals with their financial wealth and their political moxiness have totally corrupted our entire system. And until good people stand up for their rights and just look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're the one that's out of step here, not me, and don't plea bargain, and you just stay with it, you're going to prevail. You're going to prevail. The only reason that the state is able to keep going with this stuff is there's not enough people saying, hey, you're in the wrong, and I'm not going to plea bargain. And so they threaten you with life sentences and everything, taking your children away and stuff. That's the game that they've been playing for the longest time. Until now, they're trying to come up against people that know what their constitutional rights are, and they're just making a stand. They're not going to plea bargain at all. And that is the scariest thing in the world for these corrupt judicial systems. The scariest thing. The moment you say you're not plea bargaining, they're on the defense because they know they're illegal. What they're doing is illegal.
Yeah, it's definitely color of law, that's for sure. Yeah, I hear rumors. So they're definitely operating under a color of law. And hey, I hear rumors we might be getting a little media attention. Is it premature to talk about that?
Well, you know, there's already been, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 documentaries that have been done on Ackerman and American Church. What?
Yeah, I just heard through the grapevine that something new was on the horizon.
Oh, yeah, there is quite a few things. National Geographic, and there's another one that I cannot really talk about, but it's all in the talking stages, and I think the important thing is that not one of these things did I solicit. They all came to me, every one of them. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand why that is, but that's exactly, well, I mean, I never thought about National Geographic, for goodness sakes, you know, and whether that happens or not, I don't know, but they called me, they want to do a whole thing on the Ackerman and American Church, you know, just like that Mexican, not Mexican, but Latin America organization.
Univision.
I mean,
yeah,
strange medicine. They came to me. I had no idea. I didn't even know who they were, for goodness sakes. You know, but there's already been 4 of them. One from Switzerland, another one from Sweden, another one from South America, and then there was one chasing a good day to die, which I was actually from the United States, or actually professor at the University of Utah did, and that is really, really, that's really a fine documentary film. It's all based on facts, and it's really, really quite good. And, well, all of them are really good, to be frank with you. So, you know, and so we'll just see what happens, you know. We'll see. We'll see what happens, you know.
Excellent. And are you willing to take calls if somebody out there is listening?
Well, sure. I have no problem.
Folks.
I'd like to hear that you just be asking questions.
If you're out there listening, if you're not too shy, you can call us at 347-996-3318. The number is right there on the screen. Right in front of you on the browser where you're listening. There's a little blue S next to that phone number, and you can Skype in and if you wish and speak with James. And in the meantime, Mark, did you have any questions?
Well, I think as he was talking there about what was happening and some of these new things happening, it was coming to me that some of it is getting some help from the ancestors are stepping in and helping in some of these areas. There, some of these people that are involved are connected in the past, and the ancestors are tapping into that and inspiring people to help move and do some of these things. And one of the other things that was coming to me is maybe a way for this Native American church thing to keep on progressing on it is kind of for them to go sort of into a stronger group prayer, or maybe even a sort of a mind sweat lodge, you know, where they go in and organize something together in the direction that they're headed to create a more unity here, and things like that People One Fire website that you mentioned earlier, and the whole Eagle and Condor thing about things coming together and creating this unity. And the more that we think about this, pray about it, drum about it, meditate, have vision, or whatever, you know, it is people do, the more that they focus on that unity of the Eagle and the Condor and the Native peoples, and or what's happening with this Native American church, that's going to be very powerful. And so I was just getting an idea to encourage him to have all those people in this Native American church do that more and more, and just get better at it, because they can really push the envelope here and move things along. And then the ancestors on the other side of the fence can step in with that too and work with it, and things can really start happening, which they already are, but we can really take it further. Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the powers of our ancestors, I mean, that says it all in all reality. You've got to think of this, you know, and I know it's kind of hard for just ordinary people to understand the significance of what I'm going to say. But when certain influences influenced our state of Utah government agencies, or judicial agencies, to raid Oklahoma Native American Church and to arrest myself and my wife, and by putting life sentences on us. I mean, that's what they were trying to do. But they weren't just after my wife and I. They were after the church. If you look at the indictment, it was actually indicted trying to prosecute a church for worshiping. And so when it got to the Utah Supreme Court, I mean, the first thing that the Chief Justice asked the attorneys, is this an attempt to prosecute a church? And the answer, of course, was yes. It was downhill for that prosecution for the rest of the time. I mean, and it was a unanimous decision, you know? And so, okay, so the thing is I was under my family and my wife and our whole family, we were totally destitute. I mean, they put a stranglehold on me. I went ahead and went into back into the business that I used to be in, which is an international business consultant. Then they could prove that I only started the church as a money entity, and so I could not go to work. And then they put a racketeering charge on me. So if anybody contributed money to me, donations, they could be brought up on charges for racketeering charges. So we had no way to earn a living. And so my wife went out and started and took menial jobs and worked herself up to to being head of certain departments. But the fact of the matter is, we were broke. We were unable. And yet, and this is really, I don't think people really are aware of this. We have no financial abilities to pay for anything. And yet, we ended up literally kicking the butt of the full force of the state of Utah's judicial system. Now, how did that happen? The only way that it could possibly happen, in my mind, is our ancestors were praying. And there were so many ceremonies that my elders were doing where I was the topic, and they just put prayers up. And I think, I mean, miracle upon miracle happened. And I can't go into all of those things because they're very confidential in some ways. But I had no way to pay for my defense. No way. And yet, we were able to prevail to so much that it made history. It made history. Then the corruption is so deep, or the influences upon our judicial is so deep, then they lied, these elements lied to the United States Attorney General's office. They lied, withheld exculpatory evidence. The DEA lied to a federal grand jury trying to take us down. And the only reason the grand jury was able to make indictments on both my wife and I was because they filed it under the Patriot Act, where only hearsay is necessary to get, whether it's true or not, but hearsay is enough to get an indictment at that time. And that's how they did it, through lies. And so then my attorneys, federal attorneys, I didn't have any money, what was used was just defender's office, a federal defender's office, and they searched out and found out. The federal indictment had nothing to do with peyote. What they had to do, even though they publicized that it had to do with peyote, what it was is they're saying that I was a fraud, that my story was all made up and the whole thing. Well, they found out, my attorneys found out, that, holy heck, James' story is true, but the DEA lied. And all these other, Mr. Shirtless is under indictment, who was the Attorney General of the state of Utah. Now he's facing 30 years.
That's
for lying, not just my case, but for a lot of different things. And, I mean, there was just so much distortion and so much lying and such. I mean, it's avoiding exculpatory evidence. And so what they did after 6 months of investigation, then the prosecution and the defense attorney begged the federal judge to drop all these charges prior to an evidential hearing, so that evidence that was brought up and found out that the federal government had done all their lies in the state of Utah, that were so, and used the judicial system, so they dropped all the charges prior to an evidential hearing so that material would not become part of court records. Now, that was all done. I didn't have any money. Any money. So you tell me, you try to convince me that prayers don't work, give me a break. Because it was prayers that's the power, and just as you just got through saying, the more people are praying for things to change, that's the power. And I'm going to say to you, the more people that become part of Aqua Native American Church, because two people stood up, and they couldn't break those two sticks. Can you imagine if there's 2 or 3 million people standing up for the constitutional principles, what kind of power that will be? You tell me. It'll be incredible. And if you want to really be part of this campaign of really strengthening the Constitution and the utilization of the principles of the Constitution, get people to join Aqua Native American Church. And there's ways that they can do it so inexpensive, it's mind-boggling. But you first need to join the church and then start spreading the word. And look at some of these churches that are out there. They are healing people right and left, doing things that the AMA has been scared to death because they can't control it. They can't manipulate it. Because the standard procedures, anyway, for Aqua Native American Church, the mother church, which is what I have to deal with, is we don't charge for our ceremonies. I mean, that's just... I mean, it's insane. How do you charge money, people, for air? I mean, they figure out a way to do water, You know, maybe next step, you know, figure out a way to make money off of breeding. I don't know. You know, but the thing is that in the indigenous beliefs, that's nonsense. There's no price on love, for goodness sakes. You know, I think about that Yahoo in Arizona charging something like $10,000 for doing sweat lodges. And I guess he got out of jail now, you know, he killed a couple of people and stuff. You don't mess with these medicines. You don't corrupt the medicines. You do, you're going to pay for it, you know. It's the same thing with the prayer smoke. Look what cigarettes have done. Look at how people are being paid, cancer, for goodness sakes. You don't take these sacred ceremonies. The sacred smoke, this prayer smoke, has been around since the beginning of mankind. That prayer smoke is so sacred, and yet, what did they do to it? I mean, they put chemicals in this stuff, and instead of going out and gathering the different barks and plants, and you have the medicinal factors, and gathering your own mixture and everything, and you know, making your own mixtures, they make up a tobacco and put all kinds of chemicals in there to make it. So it's addictive, for God's sakes. I mean, what corruption is that? You know, but that's what they do. What the greed aspect of mankind and the prideful aspect of mankind, all they think is about themselves and greed and building up their image. And so you get into the mess that we're in right now. And if people want to be part of shining the light, and showing the way, join Aquaman, for goodness sakes, you know? I mean, it's crazy. When we were selling or asking contribution for $200, one time contribution for your life, when you have different churches to get into their one ceremony that they do, you have to pay 10% of your entire yearly income. Compared to $200 one time contribution, I mean, it's just insane. Why people are not part of Aquaman American Church, it's insane to me. And it takes time for people to see the light, especially when they got layers of canvas over their eyes. They can't see the light from anything, you know. So you got to take the blindfolds off, you know. But it's right there. And there are people that are experiencing it and finding out that it is true, and their lives are being blessed.
Well, tell us a little bit about your activities with the Hospital or Knights.
Well, the Hospitaller is the oldest philanthropist organization in the world right now. It's over 2,000 years old. They were the ones that protected the hospitals and the healers from the Templars, who were basically out to get as much money and pride and whatever it was during the Crusades, and they still are there. The Hospitallers, they build hospitals and do philanthropist work throughout the world, and there's talk that they want me to be the representative. Supposedly setting me up to have an interview, not an interview. That's not it. Is that I actually will have an audience with the Pope? And that's supposed to happen sometime in April or March of next year. All that is hearsay, you know, and it's what an honor to represent the indigenous people of the world in front of the Pope.
Well, that would be interesting.
The Pope is really, this particular Pope is really making some big changes, and from what I understand, he's looking for an emissary that he can counsel with to make up for all of the injustices that the Catholic Church has perpetrated on the indigenous people throughout the world. And so he's just trying to make amends, and he needs a spokesperson that has an understanding, which I do. You know, I have a lot of connections with different indigenous people throughout the world, you know, primarily in North and South America, but also in Africa and Southeast Asia. And so, you know, we've got churches all around the world now, you know, and so I guess his emissaries or somebody wants to have an audience with me, and so I guess they're going to bring us together around March or April. But, yeah, April. You know, I don't know. You know, I've never received any letters of notification. I've definitely had people talk to me of high esteem in different countries that have told me this is what they're working for. And so we'll see. We'll see what that happens. And the Hospitalian Press, they're a spokesperson for the President of the United States and in giving awards out to the people that have contributed very effectively in volunteer work in the United States. And so both my wife and I, including other African American church leaders, have received commendations from the President of the United States.
Outstanding. Well, I know the Catholic Church does listen. You know, we have a mutual friend that lives in Manti, and he wrote a letter to the Pope back, I believe, in the 80s. And when John Paul II went to Mexico, he addressed every single thing that that our friend Robert Three Eagles mentioned in that letter. So they have a lot of irons in the fire, but this new Pope being Argentinian, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have some indigenous lineage. I haven't looked at his genealogy, but who knows?
I don't know that at all. I know that Dr. Courtney, William Courtney, was in Italy too, and but he was speaking with some cardinal. I don't really know the full ramifications of it, but William and I, we just seem to be passing in the night for some reason. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes it gets, I don't know, just very difficult for us to get together, especially when we're traveling so much. I've been traveling, just blessing churches and doing different things for Aquila, and just, I'm really played out. I'm just so tired of airplanes. I cannot believe it. But anyway, now people are coming to me. I'm just, the people that are coming into Aquila now are just, oh, they're just incredible. I spent 4 or 5 days with this young man from Detroit, and he has a church, and oh my goodness, what a man. What a, just wanting to serve the community. He doesn't get into any of this garbage. He's very artful. He stays away from all the controversy, nonsense and stuff, and just works on his medicine, which is healing people. I spent yesterday with Warren Jacobson, who's the president of Mount Nebo, called the American Church of Mount Nebo. And we have another individual coming in that his whole medicine is actually the breath, the sacred breath, which not many people really know about, you know. Even though I utilize it in the prison system and it had incredible effect, I don't know why people don't pick up on it. But now we have this one fellow who's a leader of a large construction company, or a successful construction company, and that's his breath. He's been in Peru, been ayahuasca, I don't know how many times, but his love is the sacred breath. And so we spent an entire day on our 400 acres that we have behind Mount Nebo, which is owned by us, total and complete, nothing. And our hopes is to purchase another 1,500 acres so that we can be the mecca for the indigenous cultures around the world, so that people can come and stay for a year if they want to and do their ceremonies and share their ceremonies with everybody. there's just so much going on that is just so beautiful. And so, and it's mainly because of the people. There's some of the churches have been with me from the beginning. And they're now blossoming. Oh, my goodness, they're just blossoming. And the new people that are coming in, oh, my goodness. And I mean, we've been having these pearls of greatness come in all the time, but now they just seem like that's all it seems like we're being, being attracted. I don't know. It's really very gratifying. So, you know, this is a very beautiful time right now. I mean, there's just so many good things going on all around, you know, and it's a shining light because around us, there's a lot of this thing of a rat thing, and I mean, these are horrible. Thank heavens we got a president that's dealing with this thing, and we got people that are taking care of things and protecting us so that we can have these lights going on, because boy, there's some real dark energy going on around us and stuff, and I think it's really time for us to focus on just the light and the goodness and just put down all the darkness, just let that go away and just concentrate on the light. And it's just like, you know, you have a plant and a weed, you know, and you got water, you know, you have an opportunity to water the weed or water the plant. So you make a decision. Which one do you want to water the most, the weed or the plant? You know, and as far as I'm concerned, if the weed wants to grow, they're going to have to get somebody else to water, because I'm done with watering the weeds. I just want to deal with the flowers and the greenness and the plants that give us good food and stuff. Forget about all the other stuff. That's just the flowers. It's just one of the flowers.
Sounds like you got some grandchildren there.
Yeah, I do. Just a second. I need to.
Put them on the radio.
I it wasn't bothering me. I just some joyful noises there, and it wasn't bothering me. I was just saying that's some joyful noise there for you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean for you to chase them away. It's all right. That's okay.
Yeah, if
James,
they got something to say, have to let them on the show.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Sounds like he's yeah. Anyway, yeah. I shouldn't have said anything. It was it was good. Some good joyful noise. I know he's got I'm not sure how many children James has got. He's got several and a bunch of grandkids and I've never been to the house he lived at. Now he and I used to shop at the same grocery store, and his house was a little pink and green gingerbread house right next to the store, and then he had a little house in Sterling too. But James, are you back?
I'm sure I'm back. I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have said anything. I didn't mean for you to chase him away. That's all right. It just sounded like a joyful noise there.
They're having a blast. They get over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and so they have a kind of a newfound freedom, and so they just have a good time. And we got a birthday going on, and so.
Oh, that's good.
That's
how many youngins have you got? Not just your own children.
Oh my heavens! Well, between Linda and I, we've got 15. And then about 40-some-odd grandkids.
Is that right? Oh, so they're blended family. Okay, I never had asked. That's a lot of people. That's amazing.
Well,
and,
I don't know how many people know, but I had a wife that died of cancer. And Linda, when we got married about 19 years ago, actually it'll be 19 years October the 30th, this month.
Yeah.
And she had six children, so you put my nine on her. And plus, I adopted a couple children, too. So
yeah.
You put nine and six together, that's 15.
Yeah, I know about losing a wife to cancer. I was at your door about 1 hour after I found out that my wife was terminal cancer in the beginning of 1995. So when you were living in Sterling, and so I know what that that's like. And well, you know, we've got another half hour, but we don't. You know, if you're done speaking, if nobody's calling in, we don't. You know. We could go or we could stay. You know, it's up to you. It's your time.
No, I think that, you know, I'll be more than willing to talk with you again. And when you have something that you really want to bring out and you have people that want to ask questions, I'll be more than happy. Now, this is recorded. Am I correct?
Absolutely. It'll be archived. And this is good for the membership to hear because, you know, we've got a – we have a lot of people in this church that had legal issues and they've got health issues and all kinds of issues, and they need to hear that. They need to hear that the church is progressing, and they also need to help you concentrate on the flowers rather than the weeds.
There's a process that's going. You got to know, first of all, we do have the greatest country in the history of mankind. I mean, that is a fact. And there's a multitude of ways that you can make that claim and have it substantiated. And does that mean that there's not areas that we need to grow? Absolutely. Does that not mean that there's certain elements in our society that seems to cloud beauty of our country? Yeah, they're there. But that's with the growth of anything. I mean, every little child, they poop their pants, man. They just do. But do they outgrow it? Yeah, they outgrow it. This country, because of that Constitution, because of the wisdom of those men and the women that supported them, which nobody really wants to ever talk about, but those men knew what they were doing by spiritual inspirations when they wrote that. Now, it's taken time for the true meaning of that. I mean, my goodness, they basically outlawed slavery and heck almighty. They all had slaves, but yet they wrote down, this is not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, this country is the most magnificent organization of people living together in the history of mankind. There's nothing that even comes, I mean, you just think about it. What this country has produced, it is just, I mean, airplanes, automobiles, I mean, all of these things were prompted. You think about the indigenous people giving chocolate, giving corn, giving potatoes to the world. That all came from North and South America. Think about that. It's mind-boggling. And so the more we can get people to focus on the beauty of our country and the beauty of the people, I mean, we are such a giving. I mean, I think about it often, and I know you can corrupt what I'm going to say by saying businesses took it over, but my goodness, Germany was decimated after World War II. Decimated. Japan was decimated after World War II. And what do? We send our greatest business minds over there, whether it's Peter Drucker or Denny over to Japan, and they build them up, their automobile industries and things, and now they're giants. They're giants, okay? What countries, what conquering country or conquering armies ever did that? in the history of mankind. There's not one. There is not one. They, when these people are geared, now I know you can say that, yeah, there's money that's supporting them and all that stuff, and it's all centered in Wall Street and all that. I mean, I know that, guys. But the fact of the matter is, the fact is those countries are blossoming. They're blossoming from being debt just totally destroyed. We have the most wonderful country in mankind's history.
And well, you know, if the interesting thing is that we imposed a second Bill of Rights on all the countries that we conquered, but the people here at home wouldn't stand for it here at home. But and now we're trying to do some of those things, you know, now that our economy is almost trashed. If we'd have done the same thing that we imposed on those people that we conquered 50, 60 years ago, we wouldn't be running out of steam. Those people are still on a roll, and they've surpassed us in a lot of ways. You know, Germany and Japan and all these people. And it's just so sad that this is a great country. Well, we can really be short-sighted in a lot of ways. There's but on one hand, I'm glad that there is a pendulum that swings back and forth between conservatism and liberalism, and the liberals grow by hanging around with conservatives and vice versa, but the thing that's going on now that is not helpful, it's getting to the point where if the sides are beginning to think, well, you know, if you don't think like you think, like I think, you know, you're my enemy, that's not helpful. And if there's anything we can do to bring a stop to that, and the best thing we could do in that case is to shine the light on history and show people, you know, why it is, you know, we're the greatest country in the world. And if you don't have anything else, Brother James, we don't have any callers, and I'm sure that, you know, usually, you know, we get callers, but before the night's over, we'll have at least 100 people that have listened, and you know, before the month's over, it'll be 700, maybe 1,000, and that's a nice thing about archive podcasts, is it's a way to get the word out. Well, thank you very much.
It was nice talking to both of you. Talk to you later.
Very good. And good night, Mark. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
We'll see everybody soon. Bye-bye.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember.